Welcome to You Influence Podcast, where you will hear everything you need to learn how to be a man or woman of influence for the better in your personal and professional life, in business, at work, and in your social life. Becoming a person of positive influence has an invaluable effect in ways we cannot imagine, but can only be felt in personal fulfillment. Welcome back, influencers, to another episode of You Influence Podcast. This is your host, Rafael Mavi. Just in case you forgot who this is and what you're listening to, I know it's been a while since our last episode was published. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's about 5 or 6 weeks, and I dropped the ball on it. It's 100% my fault, of course. There's a story behind it, and because of that story, that's how I came up with a topic for today's episode. And I want to talk to you about systems instead of people. And what I mean by that is when we look at an individual or a child or a job, a candidate for a particular job, right, or a citizen of a particular country, we automatically draw judgment towards that behavior of the individual. And the reason why I wasn't able to produce any new episodes for the podcast is simply, is a very simple reason for it. And that's because I haven't been in US. On August 23rd or 24th, if I'm not mistaken, I got a very disturbing phone call telling me that my mother is in ICU in a foreign country, and she was traveling on a cruise. One of the stops from that cruise, it was actually the last stop. She got off the stop for a tour, 2-day tour. And on her first day of being at that destination, it was actually St. Petersburg, Russia. She lost consciousness and fell from the higher level of the tour bus, tumbling down into the street, hitting her head, you know, cracked the skull. It was blood all over. And long story short, I got a phone call from somebody that was there saying that, you know, such and such happened. And I went into a complete shock, not even panic, but shock, because I didn't know what to make of it. I had no information or nothing. And it's a foreign country. Luckily, I had some family that lives there. So they rushed over. And over the next several days, I had to make a decision based on how she was feeling, you know, the results of the CAT scan and everything, whether I had to fly out there or not. And then basically in the next 2 to 3 days, I made a decision that I had to get a rush visa and fly out there. And I spent a little over 2 weeks, you know, there. She was going through the recovery process. I'll get into the story in a bit, but there's a lesson in that. And that's what I want to talk to you about, the systems and not the people, especially if you are in management or some type of leadership role. If you are a business owner, a company owner, or a team owner, I want to share some things with you that are proven to work. Even if you're just raising a family and you want to do right by your kids, this information will apply to you. And I'm going to give you step-by-step tips on what we can do to raise better individuals, whether it's in a workplace, whether it's in a family, and what sets the tone for a particular behavior that is quote-unquote acceptable. But I'm not talking about just acceptable by society, but acceptable for growth, right? To make the future better. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what your political views are. It doesn't matter what you believe in when it comes to money. It doesn't, none of that matters. What matters is raising better individuals, whether it's a child or an adult. And going back to the story, when I had to go to Russia, it's actually because it was in St. Petersburg, I realized that the last time I was there as a child, I was about 10 years old. And to the month, August of 1989, my mother took me there for a few days to visit some family. And exactly 30 years later, I end up in that same city, right? And going back there to get my mother out. Because she was hospitalized, she was in ICU, she was under, 24-hour monitoring, and I had to make sure she's all right, and then she would be able to fly back. So she needed clearance. And when I get there, the first two, maybe 3 days was a complete disaster for me, because even though I'm an immigrant, I was raised in that system, which is the Soviet Union system, until the age of 12. Being in US for the past 20, almost 28 years, has sort of, what happened here was, I don't want to call it being spoiled, but we got used to being here so much, we forget how it is like in a different country. Now, yes, I came from that country, the former Soviet Union, but I personally never experienced the politics or the hypocrisy that happens on a daily basis on the administration level, right? On the quote-unquote adult level. So when I get there, I go into this complete shock, borderline depression, right? Simply because the communication with people is very much different than it is in the States. Now, luckily for me, I speak the language. I speak Russian fluently. You know, as a matter of fact, that is my first language, of course. So I have no problem communicating, getting my point across, you know, getting what I need on a basic level. Then people are not like in US. They're actually rude. And that's the norm. That's rude to us. To them, it's absolutely normal. Until you prove that you can be trusted, then the people will bend over backwards for you. That's the reality. Now, all this time, for the first 2 days, I'm in complete shock, and I'm thinking, how the hell am I going to get through this? And I'm looking at my mother's condition. By that time, she's, you know, conscious. The doctors are saying that there's definitely progress. The hemorrhaging that she had in the brain actually started to reduce, so that was good news. Now I understood I just need time. How much time? I had no idea. It was anywhere between 2 to 4 weeks. That's what we anticipated. I'm like, okay, so I'll go back to New York. My brother's going to fly out, you know, but we'll take care of it. All we need is time at this point, right? Time and patience. So I'm going back and forth. I had an apartment there, going back and forth between the hospital and my place. And on a daily basis, you're communicating with people that have been brought up through a different system. Now, meanwhile, I'm moving through my day thinking that it's the people that are just rude, that are arrogant, that are just, you know, complete assholes, if you ask me. And then I realize into my fourth and fifth and sixth day that it's not the people, it's the system. Now, if you know anything about global economy or, you know, global history, then you already know that the Soviet Union collapsed back in 1991. So for the past 28, 29 years, it's been all independent countries, right? You have Russia, and then you have all these other former republics that are standing on their own 2 feet, so to speak, right? So, but as you move through the days while being there, and you're involved in the day-to-day operation at the hospital level with speaking with management, things like that, you realize that nothing has changed in the past 28 years. Nothing. Except for you walk into a supermarket and you got everything you need. So from a economic standpoint, the salary, the rate of, you know, what the life, what the expectation of the expenses, right? And what you're making, that hasn't changed. I'm talking about the ratio, the percentage. But I'm talking about accessibility and the availability of produce and product, that has gotten better. So I'm dealing with management, and I'm like, wow, it is really the system. So much so that I understood where I am, so I knew that I had to, you know, take care of some people at the hospital and give them money, right? Which is not the norm in US. Like over there, if you get pulled over by a cop and you want to get out of your summons, you can slip a whatever amount of money with your documents upon, you know, the request, and there's over like 90% chance they're going to let you go. Over here in the US, you're going to get the handcuffs slapped on you. So it's very different. So you have to understand where you're at. I knew where I was at. When I got there a few days later, you know, I handled the doctor that was taking care of my mom some money. Actually, I learned later on that it was actually a quarter of his monthly salary. Not because I needed something from him, but simply to say thank you. He accepted it as if it was nothing. Okay? Like no sign of appreciation, complete stone cold look on his face. And a few days after, based on my communication with him, we needed some papers for her to be released, to be discharged from the hospital. I realized the doctor was a complete asshole. Okay? Not because it was the system that he was in, but I'm talking about his personality. His knowledge, his professionals as a doctor, great. His human skills, total jerk. Okay? Now, at the end, I'm having issues having the discharge papers received, and I'm going back and forth. Now it's time for her to go back home. She was verbally cleared by the doctor, but he would just refuse to put on paper. And going back and forth, I see that nothing is working. So through our connections, it escalated all the way to the federal government of Russia that oversaw all of the hospitals. So I made a phone call, spoke with them. The guy is like, you know, not a problem. Let me make one phone call. He calls the medical director of the entire hospital, right? It's the doctor that oversees the entire hospital. He calls him back. He's like, go in there. I handled it. You know, introduce yourself. Let them know what's going on. They'll take care of it. They'll give you all the papers that you need. I go in there. The doctor, the medical director is completely shocked that such a nuisance of a case has escalated all the way up to his office. Right. Again, long story short, got that done, went through the right channels, you know, and by the time I went back to the doctor, because my mother was already out of the hospital, she was staying in the apartment because she wasn't cleared to fly yet, only in a few days from then. So as soon as I get there, now the entire floor that was very friendly with me while my mother was there, now all of a sudden they're looking at me like I was the enemy of the state, right? Simply because I went over their heads and basically to get what I needed done. After everything was done, I started thinking about how corrupt the system is. And this type of behavior, this type of establishment happens on a corporate level, on a government level. It happens on a local community level. Even it happens on a family level. That's what I was talking about before. It's the system, not the people. Because in my experience, once I broke through the outer shell, which was very difficult to do in the beginning, I realized that the people are good. They meant no harm. It's a tough crowd. You need to understand where you are. What's not normal to us is absolutely normal to them. Right? Back in college, I was the captain of the debate team. And it was a topic on euthanasia. So at first, we were the team that was against euthanasia. And after we won, the roles got switched. And now that same team, we were supposed to be pro-euthanasia and we had to back our argument at that point. And what I've learned through that process is you really cannot draw judgment against someone else's opinion until you see things through their lens. And until you understand the system they were brought up in. And you really need to understand. That's why at this point of my life, I do not judge other people of how they think. I will debate. I will argue. But the intention is going to be to educate or for myself to get educated, and for that to happen, I need to ask the right questions. If I think, and when I think, that I'm set in my ways, and my way is the only way, that's the time that I start losing. Now, there are certain things that are part of your DNA, I say, right? Or it's part of your core values and they're not for sale. At that point, you don't need to sell them to somebody else. You just need to educate as long as those people are willing to learn. If they're not open to learning, then that is not your crowd. That is not your audience. So I use that story to propel my level of thinking in regards to my professional ability to open up the eyes of other people when we enter a workplace, when we enter a community or a team or any type of organization or even another family. We need to understand that each and every human being is a product of a system. Now, a system could mean different things. If you study successful businesses, whether it's, 20 employee business or 2,000 employee business, all successful businesses, they build systems. Okay? They don't focus on individuals. They focus first on systems. Because if it's a healthy system and a system that promises growth, the right type of people will be attracted to that system. And the wrong type of people are going to be squeezed out of that system. If it's a brand new individual that hasn't belonged to any type of system, what will happen to them? They will be molded by that system. And in the case of, my trip back to Russia, those people were a product of that system. And when I say a product, I mean they were molded through that system over the course of multiple decades. And on a side note, for anyone that lives in the US that talks about, socialism or free insurance for all or any of those things are very attractive. Reality. I'm telling you the truth. Those things are great to talk about, like free college, all that stuff, right? Waiving tuition, all this, social type of pro-social programs. They all sound great. And for most people, from what I understand, from what I know, because I have friends that believe that way as well, they mean it from the goodness of their heart. It's because they want to help more people. I get it. Trust me, I understand personally. Okay? It's not coming from an evil standpoint like, oh yeah, we got to do this, screw the rich. No. It's mostly because they have a good heart and they want to help more people. I get it. Reality, and there are many things that will back this quote-unquote reality. Reality is this. When you have all of these programs, the social programs, and the more you want to give back, there will be corruption. And because of that corruption, the systems fail. Now, I'm going back to this. If you understand anything about global economies or the history of economics, you will see that whenever an organization or a country, right, or republic has tried to implement these social programs that became socialist or communist country, it has never been sustainable. People are miserable. Programs are corrupt, right? I mean, this is where you have doctors are making the same pay as a kindergarten teacher while they're saving lives. Not to say that teachers are less valuable, because without teachers, we don't have great students, right? Or the future of our generation and of our country depends on the teachers, of course, as well. Not just parents, but teachers as well. Or where a police officer is not making enough money, so they're taking these bribes when they pull people over. That is just a tiny bit of a result of a socialistic system. Again, in theory, everything sounds amazing. But in reality, it's corruption to its core. And there are reasons for that. And I'm going to give you these steps of how to improve the system in your organization, in your culture, in your team, in your family, in your company, whatever it is that you're in charge of or a part of, all right? And first thing that has to be established, and that is the foundation. The foundation goes back to, as a leader, what do you want it to look like? What do you believe in? These are your core values. These are the core values that are not for sale. Second step, to establish rules or laws, whatever that it is that you're running. You need to have rules and laws. One of the challenges, again, with Russia, with my experience, is that their laws are very vague. Okay? They may favor a certain type of demographic. And the others, they could care less. Why? Because they could pay their way out of those laws. And the reason why that happens is because there's no checks and balances. Right? So first one is to set the foundation. The second one is to establish rules and laws, right? Or laws. The third one is you need to have an accountability program in place. That is your checks and balances if on a country level, right? You need to have the accountability. If you are an employer, what are you doing with your employees once you set the foundation, you establish rules, right? And now what's the accountability? That's the checks and balances. The fourth is to establish expectations. And expectations go both ways. Like, what can I expect from my employer, from my government, from my parent? But also, what are their expectations of me? What is my responsibility? Do I need to be told what to do, or am I going to take the self-initiative? Now, as an employer, I will only be able to grow with people that understand the aspect of self-initiative. If I have somebody working with me that is constantly looking to be told what to do, I don't want them on a team. The next one is to provide hope, to inspire your people. Now, that hope is not, it shouldn't be just, you know, pie in the sky. That's realistic hope. Like, what is my expectation for the future? What are we doing together? What is my leadership doing? All right? What am I doing? Where do I see myself in the future, in the next 5 to 10 years, in this company, in this team, in this country, in this organization, whatever? The next one is to have a rewards or punishment system in place. Like, if I screw up, I need to understand, what am I going to get? Right? People that don't believe leading with fear. Okay, I should say this. I personally do not believe leading with fear. I'd rather lead with inspiration, hope, right? And availability. But there's got to be something on the other side in place as well to create the balance. Like, if I do this, this, and that, this is my reward. If I don't do it, what's going to happen? Am I going to lose my job? Am I going to get written up? Or if I'm a kid, if I'm a 6 or 7 year old kid, like, if I don't do this, what am I not getting? What is my punishment? There's got to be a counter to everything that we're doing. And the last but not least is to provide room for growth. People want to know that they can grow where they are. And if that's available, what's required? Because growth doesn't happen in comfort zones. We all know that. Yet we want to stay in our comfort zones because it is comfortable. So it's not natural for us to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. Logically, we realize that's where the growth occurs. Emotionally, we don't want to do that. So you need to provide a path for growth to everybody you work with, to everybody you're with, to everybody you're playing with. If it's a team sport, if you're a parent, you need to allow your kids to understand what is their potential contribution, what is the room for growth, what's possible. We as all human beings, we want to know. And most of the time, we are too critical on ourselves. So we're not going to step out of our skin, quote unquote, and lead us to the next step. That's why we look up to influencers online today. That's why we look up to strong leaders, right? I'm not going to mention names, but we've had in US some presidents that were not great as presidents, but they were phenomenal orators. They talked a really good game. Some of them backed it up, some of them didn't. But what got them to that presidency is their ability to build hope. Now, if they could just deliver, if you can just deliver on your talk, it's better, because that's, you're creating sustainability, right? So if you're promising something to someone and they come through, you need to do your part. Or you need to do your part first before you expect others to do their part, because you got to lead by example. But you have to provide people room for growth. If an individual understands that there's no room for growth, do not expect them to stick around. This is one of the biggest challenges that I see with employers. Like, oh, well, we pay them well, so they should be able to do their job, right? For as long as I tell them to. No, idiot, that's not how it works. A job is not just a job unless it's, you know, standing by the register and it's a stepping stone towards, you know, their next profession, or they're just putting themselves through school. I'm talking about professionals. I'm talking about specialty. You need to provide them room for growth, even if it's not in their department, right? What about transitioning them into a different area of your employment based on the soft skills or the hard skills they may have? People need to have that. So when I go back and talk about systems, not people, we have to understand every time we are faced with a challenge with another individual, ask yourself two questions. What is the lens that they're wearing? Because that's exactly how they're seeing the world. Okay, we need to understand what color lens that is. The second question is, what system did they come up through? What system has molded them into the individual they are today? And the third question could be, is it even worth changing their lens? Is it even worth introducing a new system to them? Because if they're comfortable and if they're set in their ways and they know that there's growth for them within that system and they're not being delusional, just walk away. By the way, for all you single people out there that are trying to find a date that you want to build a future with, these questions apply to you as well. Sometimes you just need to walk away. If that person has a different cultural lens or different core values from your upbringing, it is not even worth it to change them, because they don't want to change. Work with the willing. The rest, just walk away from them. Systems in companies, small businesses, families, organizations, nonprofit, it doesn't matter. All of it is the same. It's the system, not the people. Guys, I'm looking forward to publishing new episodes. We actually have lined them up. I have some really interesting interviews. The next two interviews are going to be really, really interesting. I know you're going to enjoy them. And one of them is actually a leader. He's a podcaster, top 25 business podcast in the world. So we have interviewed him. I'm going to be releasing that soon as well. Guys, as always, if you haven't subscribed to this podcast, go ahead and subscribe to it, rate it, leave us a comment. You could DM me directly on Instagram, would be the fastest, Rafael Mavi. And as always, if you love it, if you like it, share it. If you don't love it, share it anyway and give us 5 stars, because we definitely want to advance on the charts. We've been doing really well with your reviews, so I thank you all for listening and for being a loyal subscriber. Guys, until next time, take care. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in. And if you haven't subscribed to this podcast already, please show us your support by subscribing and leaving a positive review to help us advance on the chart. You can always connect with me on social media by searching for Rafael Mavi at Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or LinkedIn. If you have any questions or just want to drop a line, the fastest way to get a hold of me is through my Instagram. Until next time.